It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 376, entitled You've Got to Enjoy It. It was recorded on Monday the 15th of June, 2026. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I'm joined by Mark Westgaard, by Mark Benzacane, that's always interesting when there's two people with the same name, and also by Tim Nash. We talk about WordPress things because it's a WordPress podcast, but you know what? We get derailed quite a lot. We spent quite a little bit of time at the beginning talking about grill brushes, of all things, and then we spend a lot of time talking about why the latest models in the AI space are being banned by the US government. Lots of different reasons for that, but certainly a lot to talk about. Then we get into a whole thing about social media and how harmful it is, and you'll notice we haven't touched WordPress at all yet. And then we do finally move into WordPress, and we talk about the release of WordPress 7 and the fact that we need helpers for that. We talk about the CERN website and the fact that that has now moved over to WordPress from Drupal and how complicated that is. Did you know that there was a WordPress website called Mercantile where you can buy all of the swag? I'm sure you didn't, but now you do. And they've had a redesign, which you probably wouldn't have noticed anyway. Five for the Future is up for debate. How on earth can we measure the things that people are doing in the WordPress space? And then we talk about WordPress events, whether they should be serious or a lot more fun. There are two articles that have been produced this week which take different positions on that, and then a whole lot more as well. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. That was weird. That was really, really weird. Sometimes that music takes an absolute age, like 2 minutes is what it is, and it really feels like it takes 10. I swear to God, that was like 8 seconds. That was like profoundly weird how time shifted for me in that 2 minutes. That's really odd.
You just blacked out.
No. Like, have you ever had that when you do the same, let's say you do the same journey to the supermarket or something like that, and then sometimes you'll just arrive and you'll think, how? What occurred between me getting in the car and getting here? No, clearly I'm the only one.
You fell asleep at the wheel.
Anyway, this is off to a good start. It's This Week in WordPress number 376. The reason I say that is because normally I go off and do a couple of other things just to make sure the show's working and what have you. And I come back and there's like a whole minute of jingle left. That time I got back and there was like 4 seconds left. So it was all very strange. Number 376, we're here to talk about WordPress stuff and no doubt some other stuff as well. We might even talk about brushes later. You know, I mean, hold tight, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't get better than that. But in order for this stupidity to carry on for 90 minutes, I have to be joined by some other people.
You don't. You could be stupid by yourself.
Yeah. Okay, right, fine. It's just me. It's just going to be me. Like, everybody thinks that's hysterically funny. I want all of the guests to be here. So anyway, the idea is to talk about WordPressy stuff with a bit of humor and lightheartedness thrown in. I think this is a good panel for lightheartedness because we've been on the call for about 10 minutes already in the background and we've had multiple giggles. And I've let out a little bit of liquid. Let's just put it that way. I'll just let that sink in and then we'll move on. Okay, so who's joining me today? Well, you can see going around the screen, we have Mark Benzacane, we've got Tim Nash, and we've also got Mark with a K from WS Form. Yeah, we are going to have problems this week because we've got two Marks. How are we going to solve it? What are we going to do?
Mark with a K, Mark with a C.
Really? Okay.
Or you could read the bios.
Yeah, or what about like Muriel and Diane?
Tim obviously read my bio.
Okay, in which case, let's get to the bios. We'll solve that problem as we come to it. Yeah, Mark's bio is, I've only just looked. It's a full-on paragraph. It's like a small book. In which case, we'll come to Mark with a K. No, Mark with a C at the end. Let's do Mark Westgaard first. Mark is the founder of the WordPress form plugin WS Form. Is that it?
That's it. Else? And okay. I appreciate you saying that slowly.
He's also jolly good company. If you go to a WordCamp, seek him out. I often do. This time we spent quite a lot of time doing all sorts of fun things, didn't we?
We did.
Suspect our most enjoyable thing was mocking the wax museum in Krakow, which is
what a place.
Highly entertaining. Yeah,
what a place. If you go to Krakow, please go to the wax museum. It is entertainment on another level.
Yeah, it really is. It's brilliant. Okay. And then Tim Nash is also joining us. And Tim's bio says, Tim does stuff with WordPress on the internet. Sometimes he scares people. That's nice and simple too.
Morning, well, Tim. I saw Mark's. And I went, oh, we're going with simple, are we?
Oh, you mean so Mark with a K?
Mine, and then here comes a Mark with a C.
Okay.
Well, I just want to say there's an interesting thing that Gina, my girlfriend, taught me about ChatGPT. If you put in add meat to like something, it adds meat to something.
And
it writes this big nut. Yeah. So,
okay, so here we go. So this is the ChatGPT-ized version. I'm going to read it very, very quickly because otherwise we'll be here for quite a long time. So here we go. Mark Benzgain, often referred to as Mark Number Two on this podcast, is in the partnerships and community lead at MainWP, where he works with plugin developers, agencies, hosts, and service providers to help expand what's possible within the WordPress open source ecosystem. A longtime WordPress professional, Mark is passionate about collaboration, community building, and finding practical ways for businesses to benefit from open source technology while maintaining open ownership and control of their websites. Over the past couple of weeks and continuing over the next several, MainWP has been rolling out new third-party integrations and add-ons through its partnership program, helping users connect more of the tools they already rely on their MainWP dashboards. If you're building something in the WordPress space and are curious about potential collaboration opportunities, Mark is always happy to have a conversation that can be reached through MainWP. He's also a longtime fan of the band Rush and would like to offer congratulations on the smashingly successful start to their new tour, providing that there's still plenty of life left to be lived, even for those of us older folks. How did I do?
However, you need to apologize to all of those who are listening on 2x speed in the playback.
Even better.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I just learned about the clangers and I've been like going on this deep dive about like now I wish I had written something in my bio about the clangers because this is must see TV right here.
So if you're not based in the UK, prior to the conversation, prior to me hitting record, we had a conversation and it ended up being about kids TV in the UK. And we mentioned this thing called the clangers. Go and YouTube it, the clangers. But seriously, take some like, I don't know, some barbiturates before you do. Because...
We need you to do some more legal T's and C's.
Don't condone the use of barbiturates. Nobody
but
said
only
that.
If they've been prescribed to you by a doctor.
That's right. Yes. Okay.
Also, if you go to the doctors and say, I'm about to watch the clangers, is that what they're going to prescribe you?
Can I just say this show's never going to finish, is it? We'll never get through the list of things that we're supposed to do.
I'm not sure it's ever going to start.
Yeah, it's great. It's brilliant. Right. So the normal sort of housekeeping stuff I'm going to do and say the following. If you are over on any of the YouTube or anything like that, that's great. But the easiest place to sort of catch what we're doing is wpbuilds.com/subscribe. There we go. wpbuilds.com/subscribe. You can sort of go there and, find out what we're doing and sign up to our email list and all of that kind of stuff. Probably the quickest way to do that kind of stuff is just to go to this page, wpbuilds.com, stick your email address into this form field and click subscribe. And then it will be WS form, which will submit that to me and get you onto our email list. That's a rather nice feature that they offer. What have we done this week? We chatted this week to Alex Standiford. Oh, no, I need to refresh that. That hasn't been refreshed in a while. There we go. Miriam Schwab is who we talked to most recently. Alex was the week before that. And we were talking about Angie AI, which is, it's not really new anymore, but it's a feature if you're an Elementor user or not an Elementor user, which you can use to help assist with your WordPress website. So go and check that out. And then derailing the show utterly and completely, this has got nothing to do with WordPress, but I just found it hysterically funny. Just before Mark joined the show, he sent me this picture, which I just thought was brilliant and worthy of showing on any podcast, frankly. For those of you that can't see it, Mark woke up this morning to this. Get compensation for your injury, grill brush injury. Have you ever had a grill brush injury, panel? No, I don't.
Oh, yes. Many
times.
Oh,
yes. But I never thought to sue anybody.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Who would you sue?
My own silly fault.
I mean, grilling is generally like associated with real men, right? So real men are going to complain about a grill brush injury. That just like is a big contradiction right there, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, I got to ask,
how did you get targeted with it? I mean, maybe they just decided that Mark is a real man, as you put it.
I did put it in quotes. By the way, there were air quotes for those of you who are not watching the video.
It's the reason he's been targeted was because of his previous lawsuit with a grill brush company.
I must just be suing everybody.
Anyway, I just thought that was just, I don't know why I thought that was as funny as it was, but I thought it was funny.
That's why I sent it to you, because I thought it was funny.
I've airbrushed, see what I did there? The name of the company's out, but whoever they are, please stop with this silliness. Nobody needs this.
Were you saying that? There is somebody out there who's going, my grill brush and my injury. And
yeah, but
who will represent me?
How could you possibly be injured by a grill brush unless you did it to yourself? So it's a bit like suing yourself because you woke up in the morning with a dead arm and slapped your own face.
Well, this is the same. This is the same law firm. Probably the same law firm that like sued McDonald's for the person who burned themselves with coffee.
That was high quality, wasn't it? I was in America when that happened, and I remember even the American media thought that was a curious example of law gone a bit bizarre. And I think it was somebody who bought a coffee, put it
in their lap. Yeah,
put it in their lap and then braked or something and squeezed the legs together and out popped the hot liquid. And so now, ever since then, even in the UK, the cops now all need to say, contains hot liquid. It's like, yeah, really? It's a coffee. Okay.
It's a coffee.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Okay. Let us move on. So the next thing that we do on the show is we allow the guests to bring one or two of their bits and pieces that they wish to mention during the last week. And Tim has brought three. So Tim, I'm going to start us off with some AI news. I don't fully understand what this is. I just saw that the I guess it's the US government have banned certain brand new models. Can you tell us why?
Let's not do that question first. Let's go with the more simpler one of what's happening. Then we can.
Let me just replay that. Tim, can you tell us what's happened with this story? Okay. We'll edit that.
So, once upon a time, there was a AI company who put out a vast amount of marketing about their shiny new Mythos models, which were so powerful and so scary, they weren't going to launch them to the world. Unfortunately, they discovered that you don't make money on things that you don't launch to the world. So they released Fable, which was like supposedly Mythos, but with all the scary bits guardrailed away so you couldn't test them to see if it really was as scary as they thought it was. They launched it, lots of hype. Most people said, wow, this is quite a good AI model on par with certainly better than quite a lot of the Anthropic models, possibly better than the OpenAI model, certainly better than the general other models that rush up behind those two, sort of like the heavyweights in many ways. Launches, after a couple of days of launching, lots of people playing with it, all of a sudden, Anthropic make a statement saying, we are pulling Fable 5 and Mythos for everybody. As part of that, the US government has put an export control ban on it. So basically, the US government says no non-US citizen can use this model. That they're banning it from being exported, i.e. used, anywhere. Now, the problem with that is that most people who are working on this model are not US citizens. The vast majority of Anthropic's own staff are not US citizens.
So they just have to shut their eyes.
So, so the result was they had to shut this down. Why is this interesting? Well, this is the first time we've seen a AI model being banned effectively to stop it being used by supposedly the US's adversaries, and it was a blanket ban. You could argue that that was because it was deemed that the reason for it was that it was somehow would allow you to create backdoors and to do nasty things, and it's really bad for hacking. What it actually appeared to be is that somebody asked it to do a code review, and it did.
Oh. One,
which every other model on the planet pretty much can do to varying degrees. But it was very interesting that this morning when I went into OpenAI's Codex and typed in at cyber to get the official plugin to do security review, it wasn't there this morning. I can't imagine why that was. So, we're in a position now where the US government has blocked this. Obviously, Anthropic launched it. People bought plans to use it. They cannot use it. So they are stuck. You've got this group of where it's like, is this hubris? Was this a AI company or a hitting its own marketing hype and trying to pump the stock up? Was this a marketing campaign that backfired? Was this a grudge match by the US government, who, let's face it, isn't renowned at the moment for being the most just, fair, and impartial government in the world, and does have a habit of, if it doesn't like you, tries to sue you, and has found a new mechanism to maybe beat somebody with a stick?
Grill brushes are next, by the way, by the US government.
Oh, yeah. You could be cynical and say that allegedly the Trump family have shares in OpenAI and they don't in Anthropic. That's one take. But the big problem here is, so there's sort of like the problem, which is that these models are being banned, effectively being banned. They are technically under export control, but as Anthropic can't use it themselves, they can't exactly update it or manage it. So they basically blanketly said no. But weirdly, this is probably the best thing to happen potentially to AI models. Because all of a sudden, every company on the planet woke up this morning and went, what happens when our model gets banned? What happens when the company we rely on gets banned? Because OpenAI might be the favor of the month with the US government at the moment. These wax and wane over the time. We've seen it all the time that companies go in and out of favor. So what happens when their models get banned? All of a sudden, those open source models, which are only a couple of tiers
below, interesting.
Suddenly we're looking at them and going, yeah, maybe our own sovereignty is important. For countries like the UK, where we have been sitting on the fence about data AI sovereignty and whether we should be running our own large language models internally. Turns out we actually do, but nobody pays attention to them. But maybe that's something that individual countries should be thinking about. Certainly a lot more companies are going to be going, well, actually, we want to use these open source models. We're willing to put the hardware on. So I would not be surprised if anybody was planning on buying a gaming PC or a graphics card. Prices were just dipping down.
Yeah.
They ain't dipping down no more. We're going to see a massive spike in the hardware costs. But yeah, it's a real mess.
That is one
that could have been solved easily. But the really strange thing about this is that the company that supposedly reported it, because Anthropic said basically a third-party company had reported them. The third-party company was not OpenAI, as everybody automatically assumed. It was Amazon.
That's right.
Who is Anthropic's biggest customer and has a large stake in Anthropic. So it might been that the person decided it really was a national security issue and took it forward.
So we don't have any intel in that. There isn't like a smoking gun, which is, okay, this is the thing which stepped over some boundary that had never been, like a Rubicon. The AI did something genuinely surprising and new and potentially harmful. We don't appear
as
to have
As far
that.
As we know, no.
Right, okay. So a comment came in from Wiki Design, thank you, which said, this is all starting to sound like a marketing campaign and stock manipulation, nothing more. So you made that point. Okay, that's really interesting. And honestly, I haven't made the connection with the open source models. And I wonder if that will now force people to realize maybe that's somewhere they need to be. That's really interesting.
The downside to that is, of course, the open source models in many ways need the frontier models, i.e. these closed source big ones to use. Not least if you're using certain ones, which are obviously trading off the bigger source models, whether they're meant to or not.
Okay.
So we are in a really weird scenario. But there was an awful lot of hyping up of Mythos. So Anthropic put this on a pedestal and somebody's took a swipe at it. It's interesting to see the ramifications of that. I don't think anybody necessarily thought that this would be the ramification. I think everybody expected was it to be knocked off the pedestal with people saying, yeah, it's not as good as it really is.
Right.
And the weird thing is,
they've
got the best marketing campaign ever because they've been banned by the US government.
Hmm. Yeah, I was just about to say, in the absence of a seismic leap in technology, this is probably the most effective way. If you want to look at it from a conspiratorial point of view, this is a very effective way to get eyeballs, isn't it?
It's so good.
Somebody doing an advert showing an advert from the late 90s, early 2000s, when Apple released the G4. And it was subject to an export control briefly. And Apple turned that into the main ad that they used.
That's so good.
So powerful it has to be controlled.
That's right.
I feel like Anthropic is going to be doing this.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, that's certainly an interesting story. So it's on the Anthropic, I'm guessing, blog. It was 3 days ago that this was announced. So we'll have to see what's going on.
It is on every news website you will find.
Yeah. Well, it's hot news, isn't it? Yeah. Let's see how that story develops. That's interesting. Thank you. So that was Tim's first piece. And then there was I've got another piece which kind of maps to this. So we'll do your piece and then we'll do my piece because curiously, they're both from The Guardian. So this is UK news, social media, if you like. Do you want to just paraphrase this one quickly?
Yeah. So this second one is breaking news, because we were into breaking news on a weekly show. But this is genuine breaking news. It only happened a few hours ago. And that is that social media firms are getting upset because our prime minister went out onto the world stage and said that we're going to ban social media for under 16s in a Australian plus solution because,
Australians and went,
we are Australian. Plus.
Yeah. Does that mean that when we don't win the Ashes, we can at least say this,
That's upstart colony. This is our plus on it.
Yeah.
But the basic premise is that somehow we're going to ban under 16s from using harmful social media.
Yeah.
It is a typical politician's plan. It's words have been said.
Most of them have
no real meaning. Most of them have no direction.
Yeah.
And the... Yeah. It almost certainly relies on technology that does not yet currently exist.
Okay, so brilliant. Okay, but the idea is solid.
Pretty much where we normally go with these.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whenever you legislate technology, if you're legislating technology for a given moment, almost certainly that moment has already passed. And this is a good example of this.
What's curious about this is if I was 13 years old or 14 years old and I was getting into this, already deeply immersed in it, I would be so annoyed about this. But my curmudgeonly 50-plus-year-old self is sort of saying, this all adds up.
I think I fully support this as long as we also ban over 40s on Twitter.
Okay. Okay, let's do it.
I feel like if we could just ban over 40s from social media and under 16s, that seems like a good happy medium. You're allowed to have it.
So you've got a short window of like 24 years to be on social media. And then you get this apocalyptic moment on your 39th birthday. The clock starts ticking. You've got 365 days of social media left. But no, I'm with you.
The next step is Logan's Run. So we're all there.
I was just going to bring up Logan's Run. And I was like, does anybody even remember that?
He does.
Apparently.
Yeah. So, okay, let's see how that goes. It'll be interesting to see how they manage to gatekeep that and how they manage to stop the social media companies circumventing what will obviously be a tricky moment when they become, I mean, presumably the only way that you can do it is to enforce some sort of recognition of government-based ID to prove that you are of a certain age.
Do you not remember when we decided we were going to ban porn and how we solved that solution, which was to go,
cookies.
Hey, let's pay some companies to hoard the data and then wonder why they get data breaches.
That's right, yeah. And the claim that they... I'm taking a picture of your face, but we're not going to use your picture of your face or keep in any way the picture of your face, but we're going to take a picture of your face.
Yeah. VPNs became very popular after that.
VPNs VPNs will continue to be popular. The social media companies are understandably going, what now? I have a little bit of sympathy. I thought YouTube had adverts plastered all around Westminster, so around near the government buildings in London, that just showed you how to use your parental controls on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was a very carefully and clever response to this. Is like, look, you're legislating for something that you don't really have. We already have controls in place to do something.
Yeah.
So it is a hard one to crack, though. And whenever we get these sort of stories, it is always about think of the children, and it's like, yeah, not sure this is true. I love the idea of we're thinking of the children, but are we really going to solve it?
Oh, I'm sure it's framed around, like, the children are the framing of it, aren't they? But there's probably a wider, more sort of, I don't know, systemic problem. And I'll just put this one up. So this isn't Tim's piece, but it's in The Guardian, coincidentally, which, by the way, if you don't know, is a fairly left-leaning publication in the UK. So that would maybe explain why it's raising these things. I'm going to say the government, I will prove to be wrong, I'm sure, but the UK have decided that they're going to invest in some research to see if exposure to things like TikTok or fast-paced content is in fact creating a different sort of structure to the brain. So let's say, for example, that you're my age. That's how we got onto the whole clangers and the BBC TV programs that were very slow when we were children. Television was, I'm guessing, intentionally, perhaps not intentionally, but it was very slow-paced. A children's program kind of had this feel of something at a quarter of the pace of an adult program. You know, there was no flashing lights or anything like that. Whether that was deliberate or otherwise, I don't know. But I was brought up in an era where the television programs for children were very, very young. And now all those people you like on TikTok and YouTube. So the government are going to carry out some research with some fairly credible scientists, including this lady with a helmet that looks like she's come out of the film Alien.
She's not a child.
No, that's right. I don't know what, like, these researchers are, I don't know what.
That's what happens when you have to watch children's TV.
Yeah, this old age occurs very quickly. No, I presume she's the control. She is the UK control lady. She's everything that's not. Anyway, so they're going to carry out this research and see if there is a there, if the brain develops in a different way. I'm fairly sure that if I watch fast-paced stuff, then I've definitely got a different approach to the next few hours. You know, so there is some difference that occurs in my brain, whether or not that means that children are being wired differently, I don't quite know. But there's a few comments about this. So first one, Web Squadron. Hello. Hi there, Imran. I suspect that they're trying to force apps or something to... Oh, they're going to try and force apps on the phones to be blocked. So I presume you mean by that things like getting the platforms like Apple and Google to block it, as opposed to each app having to govern its own. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
I already do that with my children.
The thing is, I stop them
from using Snapchat. Snapchat is the biggest waste of time. I'll tell you a quick thing about Snapchat. I found my children taking photographs of the ceiling and posting it to Snapchat and then putting an S on it, because that meant streak, because you have to keep posting on Snapchat to get what's called a streak.
Right, a streak.
They're literally just pointing at the ceiling, taking a photo. And I was like, right, that's getting banned. and the kickback from it was quite incredible.
I don't know. I think my ceiling's pretty cool.
It's true.
Lots of pictures of my ceiling. It's pretty good.
What is sort of coming from that is that the both Apple and Google via Android, and this has even turned up in Linux sort of circles recently, is age verification on the device and at the operating system level is something that is being pushed for by multiple countries. So actually, it is possibly the right route because you're verifying the device that you're on at that given moment, not necessarily some ID you handed over 6 months ago. Apple claim that they can tell the age of somebody from a photo very quickly and easily.
That's rubbish.
Biometrics associated with that.
Look at me. I look like 26. And I'm not 26. I'm not even 24. Close to 26. Yeah, 20. Thanks, Mark. No, that's just garbage, though, isn't it? The idea that a photo can... Like, obviously, it can tell broad sways, like, you know, he's 50, she's probably in her 30s. But when you've got that, like, gap where being 16 and a half and being 15 and a half is the crucial difference.
Well, that's when you get your look 25 policy coming. You're just not allowed to buy your dreams anymore.
Anyway, I think all of this is absolutely fascinating. And I think maybe we've lurched a lot in the wrong direction. And so we're just trying to now figure out ways to lift the ladder. But the thing is, trying to outsmart kids
is like... I mean, these guys, they go to school every day, and they were the original. I mean, when we were kids, things went viral before things went viral. I mean, one kid figures out how to do something and every kid in the whole school is going to know by the end of the day.
Yeah.
So there's always a workaround for everything. I was just talking to a guy the other day and he asked about, hey, can we put this thing into this project that we want to do and blah, blah, blah. And I said, sure. And that'll get rid of the low hanging fruit. But if anybody wants to know how to do something or they want to work around something, they're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And then all they have to do is go to school. I mean, kids talk. It's like, hey, look what they want to brag about what they figured out.
Yeah.
And before you know it, I can tell you that, like, having a house full of 8 kids, I had one kid who came to live with us for, well, unfortunately, it was only 2 weeks because he caused issues that we couldn't overcome. But that kid hacked into my Wi-Fi 18 different ways within the first 24 hours. And I had it secure, I thought. and one
18
time,
different I, ways argues differently.
I found the reset.
Okay, I'm exaggerating with the 18 different ways. But one time, I couldn't figure out how he did it. The other times, I was like, okay, I can see what he did here. And here's the thing, as a guy who's in technology, I'm like, half the time I'm like wanting to yell at him. And then the other half of me is like, wow, you are so smart, you know? And it's like, I want to praise him for being so smart.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and then I think this is where the phrase, why can't you use those powers for good, comes in. But the thing is, if your prefrontal cortex is not developed until you're 25, but you have the ability to do these highly critical thinking, problem-solving skills before then, this is what you're going to end up with. And I don't know how to work around that, honestly, other than, you know, teach your kids. It all boils down to the original, just teach your kids right and hope that when they go through that their teenage years and do all the things that you know that they're doing, but you don't want them to do, but you know they're going to do, that they just come out of the other end of the tunnel, you know, fairly unscathed. And then pay for the therapy to make up for the rest of it.
I read a piece again. I believe it was in the Guardian. So, you know, caveat emptor. It was like a month in on the Australian regime when they'd obviously enforced it, and they went round a bunch of people and asked the kids, "How's it been?" And I think in many cases it was like, "Oh yeah, it has been really weird." But also, I think there was a recognition that the people who they were questioning had found a significant proportion of free time available to them, which they really weren't aware was available to them, which was kind of curious as well. You know, they were getting up to curious and interesting things that maybe they hadn't in the past because so much time was spent.
You're saying that is slightly cryptic, and I'm like, does he mean the birth rate in Australia is increasing? Because that's a very negative thing, potentially.
Not those kind of things. I mean, like, you know, going out and playing baseball or something.
Back to WordPress very quickly, so slightly, which is there is no definition of social media.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And in Australia, they've defined social media very tightly, and it's really a certain company and certain platform ban rather than necessarily a blanket ban on social media. If you try to define social media, I think you would struggle not to include blogs. I think you'd struggle to not include any commenting system that allowed you to comment, especially one that was distributed in any way.
Well, also, it's the retention of that data, isn't it? It's like, where does it sit and who governs it? And like, I would, if legislation, which I don't know, which meant that I was responsible for the commentary inside a database on a WordPress site and it's open to the public. Yeah. I mean, gosh,
let's take something. If you were to argue that Tumblr was social media, which I think a lot of people would go, what's Tumblr? But those of them who do remember what Tumblr was.
Yeah.
And how much it costs to buy it, they would. I think most people would say that's social media, but ultimately, it was bought on the premise it's just microblogging.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the sort of laws that will actually come to play in our play area quite quickly.
Yeah, and
you can start to expect a lot more questioning on. Do you want, I don't think very many sites really act as blogs these days. And most of the people who are listening to the show, they might have a personal blog, but actually they're not, if you're working inside WordPress, it's unlikely that you work on blogs, you work on larger things. But that, even from a content perspective, from your content manager who writes blog posts for a corporate website, if it has a comment section, you might suddenly need to age verify everybody who comes to your website.
Right. Right,
that's quite a crazy step, but it could be one. And if somebody, and this comes back to when you start legislating technology, it's a very slippery slope as to what do you include in and what do you not include.
Mm-hmm. What's curious about all of these arguments, though, when people talk about regulating technology, is that there's never a recognition of how much we've allowed these platforms to get away with. Because we didn't know it was going to work out this way. There's always a kind of like looking over our shoulder and saying, oh, well, but we can't undo that thing. And, you know, this affects this human right and what have you. But at the same time, there's got to be a recognition that some of this stuff is genuinely harmful. You know, I don't want a 7-year-old in any way to be able to view certain types of content online. I genuinely don't care about the rights of the tech company in that regard in a broader debate. I just don't want that 7-year-old to be able to access that content. And unfortunately, it's hitting like a walnut with a big hammer. There isn't fine-grained control of this stuff, is there? And so, but yet, the tech companies are able to come and claim freedom of speech and all of these things because 20 years have passed and we never spoke up because we all thought for the longest period of time that social media was going to be the best thing that ever happened.
In many ways, we're probably quite lucky that the government didn't ever discover PBS boards back in the 80s. Otherwise, we'd have all been screwed and the web would never have existed.
Yeah, that's true. So just a couple of comments on this. So Web Squadron saying he thinks it's a good idea. Reese is saying there's an easy way to solve this. Don't ban TikTok from the 16s. Just force every 40-year-old to post content to it every day. Watch the under 16s stop using it.
That's what happened with Facebook, right? Facebook
has
That's true.
Young audience because they just don't want to be in that place.
and WordPress for that matter.
What's happened though is you've just found an even worse thing. So if you drive them away from, and this is it, if you drive people away, they go somewhere else.
That's what's going to happen. If they block Facebook and Snapchat and everything else, the kids will just go somewhere else.
There's always one more out there. There's always one more social media
platform
out there.
What was the Chinese one that did the rounds a few years ago that was like Red something that briefly popped up, was a scared America for a while and then it disappeared?
No, I'm not.
I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
Red.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
It'll come to me in the middle of the night, as these things often do.
When you're doom scrolling.
My 16-year-old has banned me from TikTok, so that's true.
Oh, good on the 16-year-old.
Yeah, you know? She's banned me from TikTok. She says, "Dad," and I'm like, "I'm going to post all the cringeworthy stuff I possibly can on TikTok," and you know, and so this is a this is actually a good plan. Forget about, let us take control and just anytime the kids find something that's cool, all we have to do is go in and make the most cringeworthy stuff and say, look what I
force
posted.
Them to watch it.
And force them to watch it.
We just scroll up a little bit, Nathan.
On this one.
We issue out those hats.
Yeah, you got to wear that.
Every 16-year-old and tell them it's fine, but we are monitoring you.
That's right.
The only input device you're allowed.
Yeah. 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 It's fine. You can use it as much as you like, but you have to wear that hat during the time that you're using it. They have to take it wherever you are. That's a great idea. Yeah, let's humiliate everybody. Thank you to those of you that have commented. Appreciate it. So James, hello. And Elliot, hello. And Marcus Bennett, hello. I'm just going to move on very quickly. So, right. And then this one, this is a very much, we're back in the WordPress fold for this one, aren't we, Tim? This is a problem with a collection of plugins. Tell us more.
It was a problem with a collection of plugins, which if you happen to have any of these plugins, you should probably go and have a look on your website and make sure it is not currently hacked. But yeah, the opt-in monster, I think, is the big one that most people will have heard of. But TrustPulse and PushEngage by the same company are slightly small plugins. They, as part of their plugin setup, they host some JavaScript, which they put on a CDN to make it nice and fast. And so every time you load their pages for certain things, it loads their CDN and pulls that JavaScript in. That JavaScript endpoint got compromised.
Oh.
Now, if you were just an everyday user going onto the site, you didn't see anything. It just was the usual things. But if you happen to be a logged in user, well, then it tried to do nasty things effectively. It tried to put hidden backdoors onto your website. So that's the first thing, public service announcement. If you recognize any of these plugins, you should probably go and check along on there. Basically, all three plugins were run by one company, which was awesome motive. The two larger plugins with the compromise was around June 13th. So these are appearing now. Sorry, first one was June 12th. Then the last one was seen on June the 14th. June the 13th was when most of them were compromised.
Okay.
So if you've got any of these free plugins on there, look on your website. You're looking for dodgy extra users that have appeared. Because it's JavaScript, it had to take an action. It's not like it's executing code or doing an SQL injection. It had to take an action that they use on the user. So,
right.
It's almost certainly going to be a dodgy user that you're going to find on there. What I found particularly interesting, though, was how the attackers got in to modify the JavaScript in the first place. I think I might have been on the show when it was covered. Updraft Plus had a
problem
a few months ago. Well, somebody didn't update their version of Updraft Plus like good little boys and girls.
Oh, my goodness. So there's like a chain of WordPress vulnerabilities in this. Yeah. So Updraft Plus had a problem, which led to this CDN.
Which led them to be able to compromise the sites that they could then get to the CDN to compromise those, which would allow them to compromise a lot of people. And obviously, I didn't look at the stats, but I think Optin Monster is like nearly a million in site installs.
Mm.
It's not a small amount.
No, it's not. I mean, it's very popular, isn't it? I imagine most people have heard of it.
I think Optin Monster is like one of those that is automatically installed with one of the hosts out there. That million installs may or may not be
as a result actually, of that.
Yeah, it may be a result of that, which is why it is so popular. And
I guess this is why the plugin repo requires any libraries such as that to be loaded locally. And I believe they've got a rule now that says you can't CDN stuff.
Oh, like the JavaScript file. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So that in effect would have mitigated this problem, but it didn't, because this problem obviously occurred. And this is hot off the press. Sounds like Tim's been scouring the interwebs during the course of the weekend as well. So go and check that out for sure. So you think it'll be dodgy users. So look for anything, I don't know, beginning with Mark or Tim or something like that.
So they actually do have the details of the users that you're looking for. Developer_API1 with the amazing email address of customer1us@gmail.com.
Gosh.
Other ones are dev_xxxxxx.
Oh yeah, I see that at Gmail.
The giveaway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the couple you'd probably be looking for. There are some other examples of what to look for in there. The weird part of this, of course, is that this isn't to do with plugin updating. So you're not going to go and suddenly see that there's a new version of Optin Monster. Because this was being remotely pulled, it just affected it. This is why remotely pulling on third-party CDNs is not necessarily a great idea, which is part of the reason why WordPress.org says no for there. But it's a fun one, partly because of that chain of events that happened.
Yeah, that is interesting. Mm. That adds a certain complexity to it, which is a bit sad, really, isn't it? But there we go. So if update everything, always, and then maybe...
And it will still be affected.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. Stuff happens. And my, if the government are going to ban under-16s from using social media, can they also, while they're at it, just ban hackers from just doing
I thought you were going to ban Updraft Plus, and I was going to
just ban all hackers. Can we not just say?
I think if you ban hackers, though, then what are these under 16s without their social media going to do?
What's Tim going to do?
No, we'll re-enable TikTok for those users, obviously. it's fine. That's your prize. If you stop hacking, you can watch TikTok.
I think you should re-enable Snapchat so people can take pictures of their spewings.
Yeah. To be honest, I want to see those pictures of Mark.
More riveting to me than TikTok. If I'm taking pictures of ceilings, that sounds great.
Yeah, but it's the highest. It's what we evolved.
Excuse me a moment.
We came from we started out as little singular organisms in the swamp, and we finally evolved to taking pictures of the ceiling for TikTok and things like that.
Multi-celled organisms that act like single-celled organisms. Right. That's even better.
Let us move on. Right, let me make sure I've got the right thing. Okay, some WordPress-y specific stuff. I'll go through these as quickly as I can, because some of them, there's not really a story there as such. But this is just to say that if you are into the WordPress project and you quite fancy assisting, there's a call for WordPress 7.0.x. So, in the near future, people to be release managers. So I've put a piece. Everything that we mentioned today that comes on the screen or you hear in your ear will be in the show notes. So if you're interested in that, there is a piece on make.wordpress.org. I don't really have anything additional to say to that. This is kind of a nice story and a complex story as well, it turns out. So CERN, which I think is rightly given the moniker of kind of the place where the internet was broadly invented, has decided
the web,
that...
Not yeah, the internet.
I'm sorry, the web, you're quite right. The whole linking thing. Thank you, Tim. And the other Tim. Both Tims. Thank you, both. The Berners-Lee one as well as the Nash one. That I wish I'd thought of that earlier. The CERN... millions of websites. I think it's like 280, something like that. Oh, no, sorry, 580 different websites that they've got currently, spanning something over 500,000 pieces of content. And I think that's like published content. So how many assets they've got and media files and MP3s and images and all of that, goodness only knows. But they've made the decision to move away from Drupal. They were scanning around and looking for various different CMSs that they could use. And they looks like they had a whole process where they put different CMSs up against each other. And WordPress, in this case, came out on top. And then this is a story written on the repository about what that means and the fact that they were obviously very proud of the difficult work and then came to WordCamp Europe a couple of weeks ago and did the keynote speech to announce how they'd done it. It to me, at least anyway, I mean, I could be wrong about this. It sounds like one of the most complicated WordPress builds imaginable. 580 different websites, as I described, with the ability for users, I think, to spin up new websites on demand if they're at working at CERN and they've got a project that they want to suddenly air. And it sounds like they've got a whole load of proprietary technology going on in the background. But it's quite a nice news story. You know, it's one of those ones where if you're a jobbing freelancer in the WordPress space, being able to sort of say, oh, yeah, CERN, you know, the birthplace of the web, they have a WordPress website. And, yeah, anybody want to comment on that?
It's a bit sad for Drupal.
Yeah, it is a bit sad for Drupal. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
As a project, they have made so much strides recently, and they really did dominate that space, that sort of scientific and enterprise space. And there's a little part of me that's like, feels wrong to be taking away from them. At the same time, hello, nice people at CERN who can now actually use their websites, because presumably that was the reason they made the move in the first place.
I wonder if it's just one of those kind of things that happens when scale happens, if you know what I mean. Like, it's just, although Drupal did its thing, and it sounds like it was a patchwork of different things on the Drupal side, so it evolved over time, whereas now they've got the capacity to build from scratch. Maybe it was a hard decision. Maybe Drupal came out second place. I don't really know, but it was a close-run thing. But they're obviously able to do everything all in one hit, so the user interface for everybody looks familiar and what have you. But I do know what you mean. It's a shame, isn't it? Because you don't want WordPress to sort of kill Drupal off. Equally, you want WordPress to succeed. Yeah, I do know what you mean.
But I also wonder, in the back of my mind a little bit, this was a decision that was made a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So I wonder if they would make the same decision today that they made a couple years ago.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good thought.
I go back to Drupal has made such a massive, quick progression recently. Some of the Drupal projects are quite significantly further ahead technologically than we are with WordPress. Now you can, for whatever reasons, and you can argue they're backwards compatible, blah, blah, blah. There's lots of reasons why they can do that. We can't. But I'd be really fascinated to get those original decision makers back in the room. Have them look at the WordPress landscape right now and have them look at the Drupal landscape and say, "Would do you think you made the right decision?"
Yeah.
It would be fascinating, and I suspect there would be a lot of squirming involved because they wouldn't.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yes or no.
It's a long decision. Like Mark with a C said, 2 years in the making, and I think they've had three full-time people on this for the last 2 years, not only making those decisions, but then doing the implementation. And the implementation isn't quite over. It seems like there's still a few months of rollout for various different things that have still got to be ticked over. But
it must have been something quite significant to make them move that amount of data from one platform to another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this decision can't have been made lightly.
No.
But Tim said, it's... I mean, what was wrong with the original? I mean, I welcome them to WordPress 100%.
Yeah.
But it's a significant amount of work to move from one platform to another.
Can you imagine the person who just went into the room and said, "Yeah, well, I don't like Drupal. I'm going to use WordPress." And they were like,
"That's probably what happened."
Some senior person.
I've seen that in many a web project. You know, you get the new IT guy that comes in and says, "Nope, I don't like it in green. I want it in blue." And that's it.
That's it. We're doing blue.
That's right.
Anyway, big kudos. And obviously it was something that they wanted to shout about and came and did the keynote at WordCamp Europe. And the keynote, I don't really remember a particular session being labeled a keynote other than the sessions from, for example, Mary Hubbard or Josepha, as was, or Matt. But this obviously was determined to be significant enough. And yeah, anyway, there we go. So that's on the repository. Mike Johnson and Ray Moray wrote that one up on the 10th of June. And yeah, let's move on. Some of these I will get to, some of them I won't. Oh, I don't know what to say about this one. So we got a facelift. I confess, I think I've been to this site once before. I genuinely have never bought anything from mercantile.wordpress.org. Maybe you haven't either. Maybe you didn't know that there was a place, a genuine official place to go and buy official WordPress swag, but that's what it is, mercantile.wordpress.org. And they've had a facelift. Now, I'm not going to go to the Wayback Machine and look as to what it used to look like, but this is what it now looks like. The only thing which is jumping out at me, and I'm not going to say too much about it, that is an interesting font, is all I'm going to say. And I'll pause and I'll let nobody... Yeah, anyway, there we go. Right. An interesting note.
We're not even going there.
How strange. We all said they had a mute button.
Yeah, that's right. We said so much more before the show actually started about that font, didn't we? But anyway, there it is, mercantile.wordpress.org.
Does anybody know why it's called mercantile and not merch or swag?
I'm going to guess it was beer. It's probably beer. Somebody just had a few beers and, you know, getting by to deciding what the subdomain was. Mercantile. Let's go with that. That's a big word.
Is there still a WP Builds merch site?
No, I think I killed that a few years ago. You were one of the few people that bought a mug.
Yeah, I bought a mug.
Well, we have the font for you if you decide to resurrect.
Bringing it back.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. Go and check
apparently
it out.
Apparently, James says it's called the Black Forest font, which it's called, clearly we got it wrong earlier.
No, I think we got it about right.
That's about right.
But yeah, anyway, there you go. This is much. See, you see, it's a whole thing. This is the first time hearing about Mercantile. That was exactly the same for me. And I went this one time. And then the only reason I've gone back is to... is to, you know, just sort of talk about the fact that they've obviously changed it a little bit. I think that's absolutely interesting. But this is the place you go. I don't know if it's where, for example, WordCamp organizers go. Maybe, Tim, you'll know more about that than I would. When they buy their official swag, which they bring and give away and what have you. I don't know if that's part of the process of it.
No, because you could do that through WordCamp.
You do that through WordCamp. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. Anyway, you can obviously see you can buy the usual arrangement of t-shirts and WAPUs and, you know, hoodies and WordPress mugs.
Apparently, we need to click on the product. The loading is amazing.
Okay. Let's all watch the loading. So let's go for the, what should we go for? Which you
everyone.
Want? Okay. Let's go for that one.
Oh, the loading is.
Oh, that was pretty. Nice. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, now
worth
all,
it.
Is
okay.
all is forgiven. All is forgiven. We have a completely unnecessary loading WAPU. Here we go. Yeah. It's pretty nice.
I do actually like that.
It's got an OS aesthetic to it, hasn't it? To me, it feels like we're almost like in an operating system.
Wow. Yeah. Are they trying to like make it look a little bit like the WordPress backend with the media library type look?
Okay. I'm liking it. Yeah. The more that I see, the more that I like it. So let's see what we can get. A few of these. Add to cart. What is that? Oh, that was nice. Yeah, these are all good, aren't they? I like these little transitions. What does that do? No, that. Okay.
Profits to the WordPress Foundation.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not going to buy a I Love Women, I Love WP Women's t-shirt because it probably won't fit me, but they're about £27. Anyway, there you go. Go and check it out. Mercantile.wordpress. What was it? WordPress.org. I didn't realize you could get.
And that's mercantile without a H in it, because that would be too obvious.
Mercantile, yeah. Okay, now I need to go back to the Wayback Machine and see what it's like. Yeah, I didn't do that, but it'll probably not have this font. I wouldn't have imagined the Black Forest font. Right. Back to the repository. This is Ray. Five for the Future gets its biggest overhaul in years with new pledge and profile pages. So I think one of the things about Five for the Future, so Five for the Future is this endeavor to label 5% of what you do as a WordPress thing. And the idea being that if everybody put in 5% of their, if you make a living out of WordPress, wouldn't it be a good idea to give 5% of something back? So that could be 5% of your, I don't know, revenue, or 5% of your time, or what have you. And then in that way, you'd be able to keep the project going forwards. However, in the past, the way that contributions to the WordPress project have been displayed has been perhaps less than desirable, because it was, my understanding was, in the past, the mere utterance of the words, well, I'm going to contribute, I don't know, 5% of my time, was enough to get you on that page, but there was no checks and balances to make sure that you did the thing that you had promised to do, nor indeed that the effect of the things that you did was profound or moderate or what have you. And so that has now been brought to the fore. And so now there's going to be an endeavor in the future to make sure that things are tracked. So the things that you said you were going to do, that you did do, get tracked, but also to put like a value onto the things that you did. So for example, I don't know, translating a single character in a string might not be the same as, I don't know, like making a major security update to core or something like that. They're obviously poles apart, but you get the idea that certain things will have more weight. And in that way, perhaps people will be able to get some kudos, whether they wish to have it or not, out of it. And then those people can then display that on their WordPress.org profile. And presumably that will then help their future chances, I don't know, looking for employment, or maybe employers just directly reaching out to people because they can see that this person over here is, I don't know, a valued member of the community who in the past wouldn't have been recognized. So there we go. That's been updated. Don't know if anybody wants to contribute anything to that.
Who gets
I'm
to
a little...
Let's go with Tim first.
It doesn't matter because Tim said what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like, who decides this? This is... You actually
and
gave
who,
a really
And who assigns the score? I mean, yeah. What is? How do you score it?
Because you, Nathan, said that the changing a character in a string was somehow less important than the security update. Now, that may be how you view it, but if that character in the string meant that it now be that it became accessible, WordPress became accessible to an entire country, which one is more valuable?
Well, I've got a solution to this. I know what we can do. Let's just put Tim Nash in charge. Tim, can we all vote on that? Can we?
No.
Raise your hand, everybody on this panel.
Why don't we let Anthropic decide?
Okay, yeah, let's get that whatever
okay,
label.
Okay, we're going to let it use the label.
No, I don't know. You're quite right, Tim. And that presumably would be a body of work, and presumably that body of work would need to be made public. But it's bound to be fiddly, isn't it? Especially when you get into the weeds of it. Like, you know, if you translated a sentence in a string, or you translated 20 sentences, or I don't know, or you committed something crucial, like I said, in terms of security to core, I don't really know how. None of it's going to be fair, is it? I suppose at some point you just have to say, that's a good fit. That kind of feels about right.
But if you're going to gamify this, and if it's going to be a prestige thing that's going to go on resumes, then it sort of has to be, because otherwise you're opening yourself up to both abuse, internal friction. When you end up with a scenario where one company, all their commits are accepted and go into core, and therefore they got shiny buttons, while the other people have got full-time people doing triaging and are putting the commits in, but then you've only got a small group of gatekeepers to look out. So it just.
I know
this
what
is
you
one
mean.
Of those times that you're like, this was a stupid system to start with. It would have probably been better to take it out back and just say it's not come back. It's gone to the farm. And Five for the Future was a lovely concept. We'd like you to keep it in your hearts. We think you should be putting 5% of your time, money, or whatever into this, but we're not going to track it, because if we track it, we have to track it properly, and there ain't no way we could do that. And there's always going to be somebody who's going to complain about it.
So what I'm showing on the screen, sorry if you're listening to this, but we're showing, so for example, you can see that there are three people mentioned, and they all have what has been termed high impact contributions. I presume that's a moniker which has been attached to the contributions. I don't know what the other layers are, if you like, you know, what the other levels are. But, you know, this person, Aki, 81 high impact contributions, Ramon, 56, and Lena, 58 high impact contributions. And then it lists out what the areas in which they contribute, so which of the teams they contribute to, and so on. Yeah, the devil will be in the detail here. And I think, Tim, you're certainly right to say that it'll never be perfect, and it will never be something that wouldn't be controversial. You know, if you've put a certain amount in and you believe your contributions are worth the same as somebody over there who did something entirely different.
And are they going to redefine what counts as a contribution? Because in the past, things like WordCamp organizing and volunteering at WordCamps and meetups and things like that didn't count for Five for the Future. And yet those are a huge part of why WordPress is what it is. So, you know, are they going to redefine that as well? And I don't know that they're going to do that. Assigning a scoring system is great, I suppose, if you can, like, actually quantify what you're scoring.
And the ability to for it not to be gamed, I suppose, will be interesting as well. So, you know, if you're working in a corporate environment and your boss brings you in and, you know, you've been in the office for the last 5 years and they can track everything that you've done and they can see directly what you've done, that's one thing, which feels like what this is trying to be, something like, you know, what is it, continual professional development kind of consultation where we figured out what you did and what your value is to the company and so on. But this is not that, is it? Because we're relying on people to say that they did certain things and for somebody somewhere giving that a quota, a level, a value of worth. And that'll be so interesting.
This table here we're looking at, which has the This is just contributors to core, though, right? This is not.
I think so. Yeah, this
the
is
overall Five for the Future scoreboard.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So, but I mean, that in itself is an example where they've clearly already you've highlighted. They like this is for core. This is we're showing core stuff. Would accessibility team get any scoring? Do team leads now get to choose and select the pointage? Do they get even pointage? The whole thing is just like
all over the place.
It is going to be points for my mates and to make sure that certain companies never get to have those points.
Well, so that's an interesting thing as well. You know, could it be gamed by companies in that way? You know, and fascinating.
We already have an issue where there are certain particular universities where we've seen it where there's universities have got classes in computer programming, and one of their assignments is go find bugs in WordPress.
Oh, nice.
So you get a bunch of triage things into Bugzilla, and you get a bunch of triage where it's like, why are you talking about this bug that I've, you know, we've already got 10 versions of this bug, and it's, I can so see certain universities and certain classes saying, you must get a certain number of points.
Oh.
And then we're going to get this. You need to sign this off for me because I need these points. I need these points. I need this. Right. And maybe that's going to be start of the company saying, well, actually, you can't just contribute the thing that you want to contribute to because you now have to a points quota to meet. And the ultimate thing is, while this has clearly been designed for professional volunteers, which is a contradiction in term, but we're talking more towards people who are sponsored for this, because your person who wants to volunteer wants to work on the thing that they're passionate about.
Yeah, okay.
And you're gonna, anybody who turns around to them and says you are not valued because, or worse, you are valued at 1 point.
How is that
going to get them to carry on volunteering?
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. I hadn't really thought about that. That's fascinating. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so there it is. Anyway, let's just pop it back on the screen. So this is Ray from the repositories, sort of summation of where we're at the moment. So the idea would be that there would be these pledges, and it would be amended on your profile page and what have you. So if you've got any thoughts on that, please make a comment at the bottom.
I will say that I like the fact that they're thinking that Five for the Future needs to be overhauled, because I think we've all agreed with that for a long time. I'm just not sure this is the right direction for it. And I don't actually want to criticize the person. I forget the name.
Was it Yanis?
Yanni Ilya. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to criticize. At least there's an attempt there to do something.
Mm. Right.
And I just don't agree with the approach personally. So.
Okay. All right. There we go. You can check that out in the WP Builds newsletter, which will come out tomorrow, or just go to the repository. It's called Five for the Future Gets Its Biggest Overhaul in Years with New Pledge and Profile Pages. Okay, right. Speaking of things that you might get contribution kudos for, one of them might be, I don't know, helping out at a WordPress event. And there's a couple of different takes. Interesting. A couple of different takes on WordPress events this year. On the one hand, we have friend of the show, Remcus de Vries. He comes on the show quite a bit, and he's been on the podcast lots of times. He's produced an article entitled The WordPress Conference We Need Next. You can find it at remcusdevries.com. And then if you go to the blog, it was produced on the 9th of June. And in that, Remcus is talking about how, as much as he loves WordCamps and he's been involved in setting up WordCamp Europe and whatnot, he would like there to be, how to describe it, in a very brief amount of time, I suppose, something a little bit more professional. Something which, rather than it being lots of people who come and have things that they wish to say, maybe it's more like a screening process, and those talks are a little bit more diving into a particular topic. And one of the threads that he seems to talk about is having like a theme, maybe a whole day where there's a theme running through that day. And whilst that theme might not tightly bind to every subject, at least you can sort of map it back. So that on the one hand is Remcus's thoughts, and you can go and read that and go and check it out. It's almost like we're in a they couldn't be more polar opposite in a way. Then you've got Nick Hamsey, who has got this idea. Well, the article is called WordPress is the Doorway, Not the Room. And Nick, I think, just wants to have good fun. He wants WordPress events to be just basically quite a lot of fun. And he's got a few ideas, which I think I'll share because they tickled me. I thought they were quite good. So his idea is that fun is injected in. It's not about professionalism necessarily. He's basically saying you don't remember the talks that you go to. You only remember the nice interactions that you had in the hall, the strange, curious character that you met, and so on. So he says he's got 8 ideas that could be presentations, and he says something that isn't WordPress. So there'll be a whole track of people who teach things that have got nothing to do with WordPress. 5 minutes, like one rule, it can't be to do with WordPress. It could be about your job or the tech stack that you use, anything like that.
Or sourdough, as he said.
Yeah, sourdough. Yeah, that's right. Show us your setup. So again, just show us the way that you use WordPress, which I think is quite interesting because I bet all of us have got a different way of doing that. Petty grievances, open mic. So you just get up and moan, basically, which I think is quite good. and nobody's allowed to shut you down.
Isn't that this show?
Well, that's exactly this joke. Yeah. Well, we've done that, but we don't have a stage. Adopt a project. So the idea is it's like a dating show. You show what you've got, other people show what they've got, and by the end of the session, hopefully some people have combined their projects. Human library, but weirder. Borrow a person for 15 minutes, then make a catalogue. Far stranger than expert in X. That one sort of speaks for itself. Bad ideas brainstorm. This is just totally for humor. You pitch something and then everybody has to design the worst possible solution to that idea. let me welcome you to my entire history of building WordPress websites.
I was going to say, I believe that's how WordPress has been built. From the last year, I'm not sure we could change our minds on this.
Certainly
this
the is, way I implemented
bringing this
it.
Public.
Yeah. skills bartering called the swap meet, and then the hallway track on stage. So you literally get a bunch of people to come up and talk on stage. I think they're quite interesting. It's obviously in stark contrast to what Remkes is saying, although I'm not entirely sure that Remkes wouldn't want a lot of that fun injecting as well. But having just been to WordCamp Europe, it seemed like a really well-run event to me. So I don't know. Maybe stuff will change. Yeah. Maybe stuff won't change. But any thoughts on that before I move on? We're quickly running out of time.
Well, I think his comments about, he's mentioning PressConf and other events there. I think those cater to some of those more corporate needs and developer needs, I went to PressConf last year, not this year, but I couldn't make it this year, but there was a lot of product developers there and things like that. I found was that different audience was really great to mingle around. But I've always thought there's a gap in the market for more of a developer focused kind of WordCamp, because WordPress is used for blogs, but there's a huge community of people out there using it just to build websites in general. And there's some quite complex websites as well. And
LoopConf filled that is meant to fill that space.
Yeah, that's what LoopConf was.
They really struggled with people at LoopConf in the UK. Yeah. Just getting bums on seats was problematic for them.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of LoopConf, it's coming back, isn't it? It's going to be in, I think, Michigan this year. I want to say Ann Arbor or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I heard something. Yeah,
anyway, it's back. Later on during this year. Do you know what I think? I think for many people, this idea just occurred to me. See if this lands with you, right? See if this makes any sense. I think. Do I actually think this? Hold on, let me pause what I'm about to say. Yeah, I think this is true. I think that the majority of people.
Raper, just so you know, you've been speaking through the whole of this period.
No, that's right. I do this out loud. It's fine. I think that a significant proportion of the people who attend WordCamp, like the one we've just been to, WordCamp EU, I think they're going to socialize. And it is framed around a conference because that's a framing which works. What I'm trying to say is, you put on some speakers, that's enough to drag, let's say, 70% of the people along, and there'll be 30% of the people, whatever, I'm just making up numbers, who do wish to attend those sessions, but they're really there just to hang out, socialize, maybe do a bit of networking, but just hanging out. And so just the fact that there's an event, seriously, I would turn up to a WordCamp with no presentations. I would totally turn up to that.
But that's the thing is, I mean, I remember back whenever I started, the first WordCamp or the second WordCamp I went to was 2011 or something like that. I don't know. But those had they had a developer track. They had a marketing track. They had a design track. And you knew what you were getting. And for people who have never been to a WordCamp, and it's their first one, they actually are going there to learn something. They don't know about the hallway track. We go there to socialize because we've been to enough WordCamps that we know people. We see people that we want to connect with or reconnect with or whatever. You're in England. I'm in the United States. We have an opportunity to see each other face to face. But new people to it, they actually go there for information and maybe to meet people, but that's a secondary function. So I think it depends on kind of where you are in your journey.
Yeah,
within
that's
WordPress.
True.
And for those of us on this show, we've been to enough WordCamps that it is about the socialization and reconnecting and networking and all that, and not about the presentations. I've gone to WordCamps where I haven't gone to a single presentation.
I mean, it has to cater to so many different types of people. There will be beginners there. There will be developers there. There'll be people that blog. There will be sponsors there. There'll be the likes of us that, I mean, I spend most of my time saying hello to people and stopping in the hall and saying hello to people that I know. But I
spend most of my time in the hallway trying to not bump into you.
So well, that's true. Say yeah, because I've been with you for 4 days, and that's enough.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, carry on.
That's 5 days too many.
You should see the photos.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. No, no, we're not looking at the photos. No.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got, oh, there was one photo that I was going to show and I forgot to bring it. Oh, I have a great photo of Mark in an overall. Let's just say that. you remember the video?
We're letting the minds wander, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. But I genuinely think that I would turn up to an event with not necessarily much in the way of organization around like the presentation and all that kind of stuff. However, I'd be curious, because of my personality, I would be curious to play around with some of Nick's ideas, and like that wackiness would appeal to me, but maybe it wouldn't appeal to, let's say, Remkes, given the article that he's just...
So you have two tracks. You have the wackiness track and right. you have the serious track. And
I would love that. Personally,
yeah. Yeah. People would still end up in the hallway,
in between, you know, yeah, doing between. Going to neither
all day
yeah.
long and going yeah. to neither. So yeah,
that's right.
Well, the idea that Mark with a C said about a track for developers, a track for marketing, and that sounds like a great idea. Just
like the way they used to do
that's,
it.
That's how they used to do it. And I remember the first one I went to the developer track, and I didn't understand a word of it, but I forced myself to sit through every single presentation that day. I didn't know a single person, you know?
So some comments on this. So Imran agrees with Remkes. So that sort of more professional side of things would appeal to him. Speaking of LoopConf, Grand Rapids, there you go, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And the dates are September, late September, 23rd to 24th. So it's coming up. I think you can now buy tickets. I saw the new website is available, I think. I really want WordPress, says Daniel, to push to activity pubs for social media functions alongside blog functions.
Daniel wasn't here earlier when we were talking about the social media ban.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Who would run a Mastodon install in that scenario would be the question. I certainly wouldn't. That'd be interesting. Right, there's a few people coming in. Watch the replay. It was just people saying various things. The webinar. Sorry, missed Mark and you, Nathan. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I was locked away in a cupboard.
Missed so many people. I was sad actually after the event. I was like, oh, didn't see them. And I saw all these posts on social media that currently isn't banned to.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the one allowed use of it. Elliot, who lives just down the road from me, I always say that. First WordCamp, he didn't know what to expect. I ended up spending most of the time walking around and talking rather than attending talks. Only went to a couple. Initially thought I would go to more talks, and I read somewhere, Elliot, I think it was on a blog you put out or a social media post or something like that, that you're inclined to go again. So it was obviously an experience that you on some level enjoyed, whether or not
just
you'd want to
go. For Elliot, you're not alone. This is sort of what most people do. They will find themselves going, oh, I'm going to go to this talk. And then
you miss it.
They just end up. Just to go sort of swing it back, you can have these two things separated as well. We can go back to having bar camp style unconferences. We can have beginner WordCamp days, but these all require organizing.
Yeah, right.
The reason that you found that the multiple tracks don't work as well as you hope they would is that you have to then pivot to attract to multiple audiences. You need to get multiple different sponsors, and you have to get the people to speak. So many WordCamp talks are rubbish in the nicest possible way to volunteers who are giving their time. So they're often very personalized, very great, but they're also rubbish talks for a beginner.
Yeah,
and for someone who is more in the middle range, they provide some limited value. And then for people who, most people who are there just to socialize, they're not going to the talks. So we have a problem that what we're trying to teach and what we're educating with is the wrong thing for the target of the people in the room. The people in the room want something that is different and don't come back. And we're not yet. And we have organizers who want them to organize events, they don't necessarily want to organize a beginner's little friend, little camp for beginners. And that makes it really difficult. And one of the things we struggled massively with in the UK is at, right down to the meetup level, who do you pitch a meetup to? Do you, if you want it, because if you want to have a WordCamp, if you want to have conferences, you really do have to show that there is a community existing. Or
speaking of which,
you're outside of the community. And we spend so much time pitching inside our own community through our own, for our meetups and things, and saying, nope, we are the community, we're doing this, that maybe we should actually just blanketly go, nope, if you want to have a nice community event, come to the barbecue in July at WordPress London. If you want to come to a professional conference, cool, that's what PressConf, LoopConf, and WordCamp Europe and US are, and Asia are, because those are not real WordCamps. They're just ridiculous amounts of money flown around, etc. WordCamps, maybe we have to redefine what they are, but they can be the new gateway. They can, where we can have a little bit of fun. But we can have these separate things, but only if people are willing to volunteer and do it.
Yeah.
And to do that, they have to believe people will come. And at the moment, we are struggling to even get local user groups up and going, certainly in the UK. We are finding it difficult to get attendance to these events. And when people are coming, we're often mixing groups of people together and hoping it's going to work. And sometimes it does. And sometimes people leave disappointed. I haven't seen it recently, but there was a statistics knocking around on number of repeat visitors to WordCamps. And it was shockingly low.
Oh, God.
People came to one WordCamp in the city 1 year, who then didn't come back. Which says we got a problem keeping people on those WordCamps.
Speaking of meetups, I'm just going to quickly mention that if you're in the UK, this is very London specific, I suppose, but WPLDN's June meetup is free. You know, it's ready for anybody. It is happening. It's always the last Thursday of the month. And you can see here it's happening on June 25th. So basically 10 days from now. Gosh, that's quick. And there's a couple of speakers. There's Raquel, and who is actually the organizer of PressConf. So talking about things associated with that, owning, well, in this case, it's owning, sorry, owning your why, the only content, the only constant in a world of change. And then we've also got Paul Halfpenny from Filter, who will be further down. I can't see where his, oh, there we go, speaker, there we go. Abilities Not Chatbots, How WordPress 7 Changes Everything. So if you fancy coming along, it's totally free. June 25th. Right, okay. Just a quick one, Loop WP, which is a newsletter which has been going under the auspices of Simon Harper for many, many years, is I think it's fair to say, unless something dramatic changes, it's going to close down. It looks like this was the last issue. Obviously, if it's been going weekly for 210 articles, I don't know if there were hiatus along the road or anything, but that's 4 years right there. He's now decided that the calculus of worth, time and money versus what he gets out of it, I suppose, is no longer worth it. So there's another sort of story which maps a little bit to what you were saying, Tim, about struggling to get people involved in the community. Anyway, I would just like to say that quite a lot of the content that's gone into this show has been taken from that newsletter. So thank you for 20 years of hard work. It's been,
yeah, I know, it's to see that one go.
Labor of love sometimes, isn't it? And then at some point the labor becomes a little bit more difficult to justify, as is the case there. So right,
I think he quoted some sort of how much time it takes him and what that would be an hourly wage, and it was just like, and he was putting it out for free. It was a great newsletter, but there comes a point where people have to say, I'm not getting what I want out of this. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this. When you volunteer to do things, you've got to enjoy it. And I think that might be a good summary for a lot of the stories today.
Yeah,
you've got to enjoy your volunteering. Otherwise, why do it?
I'm going to write that one down as today's title. You've got to enjoy it. You've got to enjoy it. I can't write that quickly, but there we go. There's some rough scribbling which equates to that. So thank you, Simon, basically, is what I'm saying there. I appreciate it over the years. Right, we're basically out of time, so I'll just quickly rip through these, see if there's anything which I think we should dwell on. No, not really. We've done that one. No, I think, well, maybe this one quickly. You wanted to bring this one up, did you, Mark? Was there a thing? Was that connected to another thing?
Yeah, it was related to another one, but it was, I mean, very quickly. If you're using the new WordPress 7 connectors for connecting to anything AI, then have a look at this article and it'll tell you some better ways of storing your API keys securely.
So it's not WS Form specific, but it's WS Form website.
I saw a lot of talk online about the fact that they were storing API keys in the WP options table, and this gives you some guidance on how to do that in other ways, but also how to lock down your keys in these providers to make sure that you don't get a runaway of huge amounts of use of tokens. Because when you put this stuff live, somebody could come to your site and just start chewing up your API usage.
Well, we had a piece that was going to be related to that, but we basically ran out of time. We ended up talking about, you know, things like grill brushes quite a lot, didn't we? And that'll rob you of whole hours, it turns out. So, right.
If more so than AI.
Brush injuries, it's nothing to do with me. So that's it. I think, sorry that we've not managing to get to all those bits and pieces, but hopefully that's been all right. So there we go. It only remains for me to say a big thank you to the guests. So we've got Mark over there, Mark C with a C at the end. We've got Mark with a K at the end. And then we've got Tim with a, you know, normal Tim. Spelling of Tim's. Nothing curious about that at all. It's just Tim. And then me as well. I was here, apparently. I don't know if that counts, but I never mention myself. Anyway, here I am. Maybe this will be the last one. I'm going to follow Simon Harper's lead. This is going to be the last episode of WP
Bills. Don't say things like that until Monday.
It'll go into the AI and nobody will get read into the transcription.
Nation Rigging Guy 2026. Ooh.
Yeah. It is going to be the last episode. Until next Monday, see what I did there. So we will be back in a week's time. We always are. I really enjoy doing the show, and it's very nice when I get a panel of people like you who are fun and humorous and interesting and willing to just shoot the breeze with me for 90 minutes. It's very good.
I need not use the word smart in any of that, just in case one noticed. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. So I'm gonna say, that's going to be the title of the show.
I'm going to be smart Nathan.
5 times. Yeah. Thank you. You're all very, very smart. I love you all. And obviously, if you've come in and made some comments, I appreciate that as well. Thank you very much.
He also loves you if you come in and commented, including we had a comment about they wanted to promote MWug. So,
what's that?
Reese wanted to remind people that they could go to Edward Co-working if you wanted to go and hang out in Manchester.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Read that into the record. Yeah, I'll do that one quickly because Reese is nice. I can't. It's gone. There it is. Manchester WordPress User Group pitches it as WordPress and co-working. We have 10% off of folks who just come for the co-working element. Okay, thank you. What's the plan for when WPLDNs? Do you go for a meal? We go to the bar. There's a bar literally like, I don't know, like 8 seconds walk round the back. It's next door, basically. So you go there afterwards and just hang out, and people usually are there for an hour or two, something like that. At this time of year, it'd be lovely.
Have a beer or a lemonade.
That's right. All I can say is, Imran, bring your mortgage for the bar. You know, it's just insane. But that's, you know, it's the same wherever you go in central London. It's absolutely nuts. So there we go. We just need to do the hand wave of joy, which is now what I've called it. The hand wave of joy. There we go. The hand wave of joy. That's lovely. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week. If you three want to hang around and shoot the breeze for 10 minutes or so, that'd be lovely as well. And we'll see you next week for the next episode. Take it easy. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.